I'm going to cut straight to the chase this morning. We are going to be diving into Titus chapter 2. And any ladies have any idea what's in Titus chapter 2? Maybe? It's a passage that has a lot to do with how God and His sound doctrine has an impact upon the different people of the church. And you know what, folks? The church is made up of older men, older women, younger women, and younger men. And all of those are found in this passage. Now, last week we talked pretty heavily about men and the older men and how they are called upon to be sensible and grave and self-controlled. They are to be sound in faith, love, and patience. They are to have the relationship with God right, the relationship with others right, and the relationship with the circumstances of life. They are to be able to be patient, to remain under those trials with endurance. Now today, what the Apostle Paul is doing is he's writing this letter to Titus, who is responsible to go into Crete and establish the churches. He now is telling Titus, you are to speak sound doctrine so that, Titus chapter 2, verse 3, so that the older women likewise, and we have a list of things that will become apparent as older women heed sound doctrine. And as they heed sound doctrine, it's then the older women's responsibility to transfer their understanding and knowledge and experience to the younger women. You know, what's interesting is Paul doesn't tell Titus, you've got to teach these women how to be women. Whew! Good. Because I don't know how to be a woman. He doesn't know how to be a woman. Who knows how to be a woman? Another woman! And ladies, listen, you know how we do talk about the church, and men have been called to be the leaders in the church, correct? Yes. Men have been called to be leaders in the home. Yes? Yes. Now here's something where you have been called. Very clearly, you have been called to be teachers of the younger women. That's a responsibility soundly on your shoulders. Now, yes, as a pastor, Titus in his realm was responsible to declare the sound doctrine. Get the truth out there to the body of Christ. The elders were to also do the same. Communicate the truth. Be blameless. The older men were to be sober, sound in faith, both in the church and in their homes. And so they were to have that powerful influence and set up the environment so that ladies can thrive and fulfill their calling as godly women teaching women how to be godly. So yes, men, we do have a responsibility here today, but the focus is going to be on women as you operate in the sphere of under sound doctrine and under godly leadership from men. You are to be teachers, communicating how to be godly to younger women. This, sadly, in our culture today, is something that has become not very popular. I don't know if it's because the older women have stepped off and decided to not fulfill this responsibility, or if the younger women don't want to hear it. Or it could be a combination of both. But let's be honest about something. Our culture, especially in America, communicates to women the importance that they establish their own identity, that they take care of themselves, and if they get married, oh, that's okay, but make sure you stand up for yourself. And it's a mentality, let's be honest about this, that flies in the face of what the Bible teaches about the proper order of a home. The Bible doesn't tell us that women are to be suppressed and slaves. No. the Bible has a perfectly designed model where there's a leader, there's a helper, and it is designed to work perfectly as God and His grace works through both. Well, in the church, God has a design, God has a model. And today, we're going to study and look at that, and we'll do the best that we can to cover as much as possible of this passage. So, Titus chapter 2, most of you are probably there. You beat me. I'm not there yet. I'd like to read again verses 1 through 6. You know what? Let's do something different. Okay? We're going to all read it together out loud. Can we handle that? We can do that, right? All right, here we go. We're going to Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. Now, as we dive into this, I want you to see the link between verse 1 and verse 2, the link between 1 and 3, and the link between 1 and 6. What's the link? Well, it's sound doctrine. It is the declaration of sound doctrine. Again, sound doctrine is healthy or whole teaching that is in accordance with God and His Word. That is what we as a church, what we seek to communicate from this pulpit. That should be what comes out of every pulpit in America, but it is not. And so sound doctrine is to be the baseline. And in that environment of sound doctrine, Paul explains to Titus, this is what is to happen. Verse 3 speaks of the aged women. Now, I know women are very sensitive about age and appearance and all of those kinds of things. So I will not belabor this point. This aged woman is the feminine version of the aged man found in verse 2. So basically, we're talking about older women. And if you consider yourself a young woman, then you are one who will be talked about later. If you do not consider yourself a young woman, a younger woman, then you'll be considered an older woman. Okay? So all of you are covered, just so that we're clear on that. So the aged women likewise, very important word, it's linking it to how the aged men were expected to live under sound doctrine. The aged women also likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to march down through the text like I normally do. We're going to talk about it, explain it, and then we'll come to the close with some admonitions and principles. The first thing that we see here is a qualification or a attribute of an aged woman, of an older woman, is that she have a behavior that is becometh holiness. Now, as we think about holiness, holiness is the idea of being set apart. This term here comes from the Greek word that means to set in place. And when you set something in place, and immediately I thought of that tower over in the Leaning Tower of Pisa, I believe it is what it's called. It's called that because it's leaning. And when they set that in place, when they built that in place, they did not They didn't realize, obviously, that the ground and the footing upon which it was built was not suitable for a tower of such height. So as a result, the behavior of the tower befits its setting. It was not suitable. And so therefore, women are to be set and established on the firm foundation of the doctrine of the Word of God. And as they are, their behavior will be befitting holiness. In other words, as you ladies establish your life upon the Word of God, you will find it be a firm footing to the point that your behavior, the way you live, is fitting with what God expects for you. So, ladies, God's call is that you have behavior as becometh holiness. Now, the next two things we have are put in the negative. Not false accusers, not given to much wine. Now, I want to remind you, this is in Crete. Now, in Crete, they thought of themselves as liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. We saw that in Titus 1, verse 12. We talked about how that sounds a lot like our culture today. Well, Paul is giving these instructions to women that are living in that kind of culture. This term, false accusers, you know how it's translated in most places, other places in the New Testament? Devil. Devil. False accusers, do not be a devil. How's that for instruction? Do not be someone that goes around slandering and making false accusations of people. Do not be quick-tongued, seeking to be appearing better by putting others down. Watch your mouth. And immediately following is this term, not given to much wine. What happens when you have too much wine? What starts running? Your mouth. Paul knows that. He understands that. God understands that. And so he says, ladies, listen. Don't lose control and allow yourself to be overcome with much wine, because it opens the door right up for you to then become a devil, to become someone that accuses falsely. The last thing in there, in verse 3, is a teacher of good things. Now, I don't want to just gloss over that. When we think of a teacher, and I want you to think about maybe a favorite teacher that you've had in your life, think about the qualities of that gentleman or that lady, that teacher. Think about what it meant to sit under their teaching. Think about how your life was changed as a result of being there in their presence. I can think of some of my favorite teachers. And you know what really impacted my life the most was not necessarily the knowledge that I gained from them, but it was the love that I received as they communicated that knowledge to me. And in this text, ladies, you are called upon to be a teacher of good things. Or another way you could say it is good teacher. This term comes from the root meaning to teach. And so you are to be one who is communicating good things. Now, who do you think you're supposed to be teaching? It's not the older men here, and it's not necessarily Titus. Who's in the sphere of your influence, ladies? Very often, it's your children, or it's those in the church that may be younger and less experienced. You have many opportunities to teach, and you're called upon to be a teacher of good things. Now, as we're setting the bar here, we're establishing this fact that in the sphere of sound doctrine, ladies, you older ladies are equipped, as you apply the sound doctrine of the scriptures, you are then equipped to be a good teacher. You will have a character that is befitting of God, holiness. You will, if you want to think of the exact opposite, you will not be like the devil, running your mouth in areas where it does not belong and saying things that you shouldn't be saying. You will maintain control and not give yourself to too much wine. You will be a teacher of good things. With that in mind, Paul then goes in verse 4, and he says this, that they may teach the young women to be sober. Another way that I interpret that as I translated in the original, that they may admonish or deliver the minds of the young women to being healthy. And then here's the list, and I'll give it to you, and then we're going to talk about it. I'll say this again, that they may admonish or deliver the minds of the young women to being healthy, husband-loving, children-loving, sensible, pure, home-keeping, kind, submitting to husband women. How's that for a list? So that God's word is not spoken of in evil terms and reviled. Before we go and look at all of that list, I want you to take the bottom end so that the word of God is not reviled. Okay? Sound doctrine is a sphere in which all of this is to operate. Why? Not only just so that people grow and learn and become godly, and so the next generation is godly and can pass on those godly traits to others, but so that God's holy word is lived out in a pure way, so that when people see a Christian, they know God. They see God at work. There is not this disconnect where here's someone that claims to be a Christian, but they live just like the world. So what does God's word really say? And you can see how the world would look at it and say, you know what, it's not worth anything. The people that claim to live it aren't any different. So there is a powerful reason here, so that God's word is not blasphemed. All right, so we have ladies. And ladies, God has established you in your life. You've been able to grow in the faith. You've been able to have children and train and raise them and teach them. God's been gracious to you and has helped you to be faithful. And now you take the hand of a younger woman. And God's calling upon you is now transfer. Love your husband. Love your husband, daughter. Love your husband, young woman. Love your children. Be sensible in your mind, clear thinking, and so on. And notice here, as we get into this list of all that is to be transferred, that they may teach, verse 4, the young women to be sober, and that is really how they are to be teaching, to love their husbands. Now this idea of love, this is really just one word in the Greek. And this one word has two terms in it. It has phileo, which is the word for love, brotherly love. And it has the word for man or husband. And so literally, lovingly care for one's man, one's own husband. As we think about that, our culture does not help us. Young ladies, as they watch the media, as they watch TV, movies, sadly, in many of their homes, there is a lack of love between mom and dad. Movies communicate it as well. There is a lack of respect between husband and wife. And many times it's almost a joke. Our young ladies are growing up and they're getting married, and because it's the thing to do, or they have quote-unquote fallen in love with this incredible man, and a year into their marriage, it's not so incredible anymore, and things are changed, and things are different, and yeah, what do they do then? What do they do? You know, women, older women, God's calling in you to help establish the younger ladies in your life and in this church. Help them to understand marriage. Help them to understand what it's like to love a man and be committed to him for life. How do you do that? It's the Word of God tells you how to do that. It instructs you. And you do that. Take that instruction and pass it on. Love your husband. Love your husband. Love their husbands. Teach them that. Teach them to love their children. Do you know? It's sad, but it almost seems like our culture makes children out to be a burden. It makes it seem like don't have so many children because it's going to hamper your dreams and your goals in life. Children are a blessing from the Lord. Think of children as blessings that God has given to you that you have the opportunity to raise to multiply God's truth around the world. As you raise your children, God's truth then goes out of your home and the influence is expanded. Women, you are to teach the younger women to love their children, love them, and to care for them. You're going to understand here, and I may get in trouble for saying this, but I don't know how else to say it. The family and the home has to be a priority in a woman's life. The Bible teaches that. It doesn't say work. I'm not saying you can't work outside the home, but it says the home, the family, the husband, the children must be a priority in your life, women. I got chills. Because that's not a popular opinion. But I don't know how else to say what we're reading here today. Love your husbands. Love your children. It's not telling you go out and get a great job. Be independent. It's not saying that. I did a little study of the first century in Rome and women. And you know what? Women in Rome, in the first century in Rome, they were appreciated for being wives and mothers. And that's not in the biblical context, that's just Rome. And they were to be in the home, they were to work the loom and make the clothing and care for the home. If they were wealthy, they would have slaves that would help them with that, but they would not be involved in politics and all that kind of stuff. They would not be working. That was the way it was in the first century. And I'm not saying we go back to first century Rome. I'm saying we'd be biblical. And we put priorities where they need to be. And ladies, if the priority is, if God's saying, you know what, you got priorities that are out of line, it may mean making some pretty drastic changes. But we must be biblical. We have to live according to what God says. And so as we look at this, we take this, and this is in first century Roman context on the island of Crete, very, very bad culture, lying culture. And Paul is saying, Titus, teach sound doctrine, that the older women, that they live holy lives so that they can teach the younger women to love their husbands. Love their children. To be discreet, verse 5. To be disciplined, to be sensible, to be self-controlled. This whole list is adjectives, which is to describe these young women. Teach them to know how to be discerning and make wise choices. My heart breaks for the young ladies that are out there. I read a newsletter from a local crisis pregnancy center. And my heart breaks for so many of these young ladies out there. They are living lives totally on their own without any help. There's no one to guide them. And they come to the steps of this crisis pregnancy center where there's ladies that love the Lord and want to pour into their hearts and lives. And what an open opportunity, as young ladies are hungry to know how to love their husbands. How do I love my children? And you know what? Inside of that little idea of loving your children is the idea of how to take care of them. How to feed them a good diet that will help them grow healthy and strong. How to make good meals so that your husband has energy to go to work. You know, that's all included in that idea of love. How to make good choices. So many of these young ladies that I read about, they just make choices that just don't make sense. But then what are we to expect? They're wandering around in a world that teaches them one thing. They don't have God's knowledge and God's wisdom to apply. Ladies, you can do that. You can fill that void. You can teach a young woman how to be a woman. I can try to do a seminar. But what would I do? What would I do? I just have to read illustrations. I don't have personal experience. You do. To be discreet, chaste. Chaste basically is pure. Clean. To be clear. It's the opposite of being polluted and dirty and tarnished. To be clear. Now here's a big one. Keepers at home. All right, keepers at home. Let's just establish something about this idea and concept of home. Where's home? Where's home? You know, what's the phrase, home is where the heart is? Or is that the little phrase that you hear out there, right? Well, it doesn't work because so many ladies' hearts are not at home. What have we just been talking about? Love your husbands. Love your children. The home is this sphere of your family. Of who belongs to you and you to them. And this concept has the idea of being a guardian of the home. Being almost like a caretaker of the home. In the Roman culture in the first century, this was no big surprise. This is what women did. This is the way their life was. But today, this is a hard one, isn't it, ladies? This is a hard one. This is a challenging one. And this goes back to the idea of priority. Are you going to choose to make what is important in God's eyes important in your eyes? I didn't write this. It says, teach them to be keepers at home. How are you doing at home, ladies? How are you? Are you taking care of things? Is it a priority in your life? If someone were to ask your husband or your children, would they say the home is a priority in mom's life? That's a sobering question, isn't it? Are things being taken care of on the home front? Or are things just being done just to get by? You know what? So many times we go to work and we put our best foot forward, don't we? We want to impress. We want to do a good job. What happens when we come home? Yes, we're tired and we're worn out. But listen, the home must be a priority. Keepers at home. You know what? Our culture is drawing women away from the home. I want to just alert you to something that I've observed that is very sad to me, is how technology is being used to tear the home apart. These social networks that are out there, how many hours do people spend sitting in front of them communicating with people that are outside of their home across the world, when in fact right there where they sit is a place that needs their attention? I have a friend that I had in college, and I recently found out his wife left him for somebody she met online. How does that happen? It's because she goes looking outside the home. Her attention and priorities are not in the home. And we'll set aside whether he was being a good husband and taking care of her and all that kind of stuff. There's always two sides, yes. But nevertheless, the priority for you ladies must be in the home. And do not allow technology, media, culture, whatever, to draw your heart and pull you away from what is important, your home. Be keepers at home. As you are being keepers at home, you are to be kind and good. You know what? There's nothing worse than someone that's caught in a place where they don't want to be. Ladies, ask God to help you to want to be at home. And as your heart embraces the home, you'll be able to be kind and good and loving. That's God's place. Be kind. And so we have kindness, and then obedient to their own husbands. This is the same idea that we find over in Ephesians chapter 5, where it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." This is the picture of submission. This term, hupotasso, is meaning to station or be arranged in line under. Older women, you are to teach the younger women to be submissive to their husbands. Now, that's a tough, tough thing. I want to first speak to husbands. You know what? If we obey God's instructions and doctrine, our wives will have no problems. Well, let me say no problems. Well, it would be a lot easier for our wives to follow their calling and be submissive. Does that make sense? Men, does that make sense? That's important to get that. But women, you are to be submissive. You are to be aligned underneath the husband. That is God's design, God's order, God's plan. Obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And that is a powerful, powerful reason. Be a teacher so that God's word that God is represented as who He really is. So that as God's word is carried out, it's attractive to a world that is lost and dying, to a world that is just ravaged by broken homes, to a world that has ladies, that young ladies that have grown up in homes where they didn't have someone to love them. They didn't have someone to teach them how to take care of the home or how to love children and care for children, how to love a husband, how to be a wife, how to be a keeper in the home, good and kind. You know what, church? We can fill that void. Ladies, that's the calling that God is issuing to you today. That you don't keep all of these things to yourself. That your prayer is not, thank you, God, for all of these experiences, but God, thank you that I have these experiences to pass on to others. As your pastor, I have been praying and just asking God that our church will be one that is known for its discipling mentality. That when young ladies come into this midst, they are surrounded by ladies that have experience and love, who are good teachers. My heart is that young ladies will put aside the barrage that our culture is saying that they have to do it on their own. That they will willingly submit to the teaching of older godly women, that they may grow to be godly. You know what? You can't teach someone that's not teachable. And I am convinced that having a teachable spirit is one of the most powerful traits of a Christian. So young ladies, are you teachable? Are you allowing yourself to be taught by godly women? Or are you allowing Hollywood producers or someone online or someone, a teacher at school? Listen, it needs to be godly women. Where are you going to find those godly women? You should be able to find them in the church. That's the incredible calling. That's powerful. Where are these young women going to go to find someone to teach them? It needs to be the church. We've got some powerful ladies in this church. Some ladies with incredible experience and knowledge that have grown up in the faith for years. Let's take advantage of the richness of this body. And God can do incredible things as we do it His way. God, I don't know what else to say. I had flower illustrations and different ideas and principles and thoughts, but Lord, You want me to be quiet. And perhaps, God, it's to allow this church to think. You know, young ladies, and there are many of you here, do you have a teachable spirit? Are you seeking advice and insight and experience from godly ladies? I want to tell you that if you want to grow in Christ, you have an incredible opportunity. God's instructions tell us how we can do this. Older women, how are you doing as far as being a teacher? How are you doing with that? Have you been convicted in your heart today as God challenged you? Has God put a young lady in your mind? You know what? God, I don't know all that You have in store for this church, but God, I know that You can turn this world upside down through a little body like this. God, we may not be mighty in number, but God, your spirit is mighty, and you can do incredible things. God, I want to thank you for the ladies in this church. This church would not be the same without these ladies. They are precious in your sight. I love them. I am so thankful for the influence that they have had in my home. And God, I just ask that you would empower them and strengthen them for the calling that you have placed upon their life today. In Jesus' name.